if you've not been part of something like that and really feel like, hey, it's time that I do that. I just know it. I've been putting it off for years. I need to do that. Talk to me. Talk to Rose. Let us know. I'll need to talk with you before that event takes place, and that'll just be a great night. By the way, we're going to bring desserts to share. It's going to turn into a party. It could turn into a pool party, and that kind of scares me, but we'll do it anyway. It'll be good, won't it? I'm going to ask for the ushers to come forward to receive the morning offering. They're already there. Guys, don't start yet, but there. Listen carefully. You've still got the box option. If you want to make it private like that, that's completely okay. If you also want to put in the basket, well, we encourage you to do that as well. But we do encourage you to give. Let it be a sign that all of your resources belong to God as you give this tangible part back. So with that said, don't start yet. Jerry Peterson's going to come down right in the back there and pray, because on the back of your note sheet for the morning message is some prayer requests for the Conklins. And you know, we've got a small group of missionaries that we support. The Conklins were here months ago. They're now back out on the field. They've been asking for some specific prayer for some things. The adjustment to go from here to there is absolutely ridiculous, especially for these East Coast people. And it's kind of fun. These are great servants of God who are in it up to their ears and just do it like you wouldn't believe, and are really pushing the kingdom forward to the glory of God. So they have asked for special prayer. You're going to see this out of us every so often, requests. Every so often you'll see a Skype chat that's been recorded for you to see these folks. In this case, we've got it in writing. And Jerry, if I could ask you to lead us in prayer for the Conklins and also thanking the Lord for the offering. Thank you, my friend. Amen. Thank you very much. Jerry Peterson, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, gentlemen, please receive the offering. As they're doing that, let's have a little fun. If you can keep civil and if you can keep kindness in your heart that come out of your mouth right now, I had made sure that in our little email communication that we said, could you notice something that might be different about myself and the worship team? And now is your chance to figure that out, to see if you have or have not yet figured out what was different about me or the worship team this morning. Don't say anything yet. What? Did you say more what? You said more hair? I love this guy. I will call you friend. Rough night, huh, Jay? Okay, good. Let's keep going. Anybody think they know? If you know, put your hand up. If you know what was different about me and the worship team, not just me, me and the worship team. Okay, I know you're part of the worship team. Okay. Okay, who'd like to shoot it out, what they think? I have on tennis shoes. Very good. Okay, well, I can't help that. And Mama sang tenor. I don't know what in the world's gone with those guys. Okay, good. We have gone this morning with the athletic shoe look all the way up through our administrative assistant here with the athletic shoe look. Has anybody, now don't answer this, but see if you think a little bit. Has anybody figured out why yet? Put your hand up if you think you know why. Oh, this is too good. Only a couple of us? Yeah, okay. Very good. All right, so you figured it out a little bit. You know why I'm doing this? I'll tell you why, for several different reasons. One is this. I learned years ago living up north that summer comes on June 21st. Everybody knows that, right? According to the climatologist and how, okay, we know summer starts in a few weeks. Don't we know that? Well, I know up north it doesn't really start then. Summer, if you go far up north, summer really doesn't start till almost like July 4th because the weather's that raunchy. Lived in it for a couple of years, 4 years, and had enough, all right? But summer lasts maybe a grand total of 2 months. As you come down a little bit to the middle of the United States, it kind of starts around Memorial Day or a little bit afterwards, even though it's still a little cool in some places where my friends are. It kind of starts after Memorial Day and definitely is done by Labor Day. But I was with a consultant who really specialized in doing Florida churches about 3 years ago, and we were over in Orlando having lunch together. And he said, have you studied Florida culture yet? And I'm thinking, well, we've had over 20 years in touch with Florida culture, families living here, us in and back and forth. And I said, I think I understand Florida culture. I said, you talking about the tourists? Because we're over in Orlando, and it's 99% tourists who all get to rent cars, by the way. Interesting proposition. We'll go there another time, okay? But he said to me, have you noticed that up north, where you're from years ago, that summer starts like Memorial Day to Labor Day? I said, yeah, that's right. I've already picked up on that. He goes, have you noticed that's not true in Florida? I said, what do you mean it's not true in Florida? He said, it's not true in Florida. You know when summer starts in Florida? Summer starts soon after Easter. I said, really? I said, why is that? He goes, you'll notice in your church soon after Easter, people go like this. I'm going to the beach for the weekend because the weather has finally gotten consistently nice and I can book a weekend. I know it's going to be nice when I get there. And he says, you notice this. Summer doesn't end at Labor Day. Summer ends somewhere toward the end of October because you can still pick out a nice day in October and go to the parks and go over to the beach and everything's still pretty and nice. There's up north. They're worried about snow and the leaves are falling. I said, you're right. And he goes, you know what that means for church work in Florida? It means this. That people have a ready built-in excuse for their laxness because when summer comes in people's psyche, especially in our country, things just loosen up all the way around. Spiritual disciplines are not followed anymore. Personal disciplines are not followed anymore. You look at somebody in the summer trying to maintain a diet, trying to maintain a close marriage, trying to maintain a house and doing the things they do. They let things slide. The kids are off of school and it's just different. And what happens is that difference in that slide goes into our spiritual life. And lo and behold, you know what I get in my office? I get people who have lists of excuses for why they have done something wrong and shouldn't have done it. And I can just talk here, so I'm not offending anybody. I have wanted to so many times talking to people across the desk when they have just blurted out, and I go, wow, that's a mess. And they're like, I just don't know what to do. And I look at them and I just want to say this. You ready? Just do it. Just be obedient to what God said. Just do it. Have the courage to say, you know what? I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to be obedient no matter what. God said it, I believe it, and now I'm going to do it. Whew. This is like therapy. I like this. I feel better now. Let's close in prayer. Because apparently the message has met my needs. But I'll tell you what, when you look at our faith and our walk, you see there are people who are, one, they get in the summer mentality of laxness and allow sin in, or lack of spiritual discipline. And then you see a whole nother group who's doing this. Now, I'm getting it all out this morning. Now I feel really good. There's a whole nother group out there of people, and no matter what church I've been in, no matter how big, how small, there's a group of people, and when they hear so-and-so is speaking within 100 miles, they run and get a group to go hear that person because that person's an expert on marriage. Okay, and published a few books and et cetera, right? Or, hold it, that person's an expert on money. And I got to go hear so-and-so and be trained in his system on money. And hold it, not done yet. That one over there is an expert on marriage. And I got to run to him. They run to one conference after another. And they learn about parenting. They learn about money. They learn about marriage. And they run. I'm not poo-pooing those conferences. But reality is, you know what I want to say to that group of people? No, not don't do it. Don't go do it. I want to say to them, just do it. You're reading this stuff in the scripture. If God said it, just do it. Just be obedient to it. How much more input do you need to have about your money to know that God gave you all the resources you have and that they're to be used for Him? What more is it? Do you need somebody to tell you from the front that, hey, you got to pay your bills? Well, I didn't know that, okay? You should watch how you use your credit cards. Really, this is the stuff my parents taught me when I was in kindergarten. I learned all that then. But I want to tell them, just be obedient to God. The thing that's missing in your life is just the simple obedience to God. So just do it. Wow. Now, I think the church as a whole, today, us, forget about all them out there. It's easy to throw rocks at the other places, all right? Let's talk about us. We would be more effective as a church. You would be more effective as a marital partner. You would be more effective as a friend. You would better hold on to your money and take care of your money. You would be a better parent. You'd be a better community member where you live if you just followed what the Lord said and just did it and just was obedient to Him no matter what the cost. Just do it. But the truth is it doesn't take place like that. In fact, I love when people say to me, I don't read the Old Testament because the Old Testament is, that's all gone now. And I'd rather read the New Testament because it's fresher and it's more vibrant. And I always say to people like that, then you're missing the bulk of Scripture. Because God displays who God is in the Old Testament. He displays His personality. He displays His mind. He displays His will. And the Scripture tells me that God never changes. So that God that reveals Himself there is still the same God today that I have relationship with. And in some cases, some of this should scare you. This morning, We're going to look at a large section of Deuteronomy. There's a lot there. And listen, if you're having a hard time in your scripture study right now, I'd suggest do this. Go back to Deuteronomy. You know what Deuteronomy is? A series of talks from Moses to the next generation that came along after the people who disobeyed God and now were dead. And he's talking to their kids, the next generation, and he's saying this to them. Here's what took place in our lives as we moved along with God or didn't move along with God. Learn the lessons from the past. So if you're having a hard time in the scripture, a hard time getting to the scripture this summer, why don't you take out Deuteronomy? Oh, it's such a scary thing to see that Deuteronomy book. Why don't you look at it and see these series of sermons as you see God displayed and revealed to man? It's really neat. It's exciting. It will reinvigorate your spiritual walk. I'm going to do this reading here of Moses, who's at Kadesh Barnea, and he's talking to this whole new generation. And we're going to notice this morning the thinking and the acting that leads to disobedience. I'm going to have you stay in your seats. It's a long passage. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. I'm going to read through verse 33. Let me read this. Remember now, it's Moses talking to this next generation of people, all right? He's telling them the story of how we got here. Here we go, okay? Moses talking. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all the great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. Hold on to that. And we came to Kadesh Barnea, the place we've always wanted to get to. Let's see why. Okay, verse 20. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Did you see that? Go up, take possession as the Lord has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you came near me and said, let us send men before us, that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities into which we shall come. The thing seemed good to me, and I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe. And they turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they took in their hands some of the fruit of the land and brought it down to us, and brought us word again and said, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, and I just want to do a whiny voice right here, and I'll try not to. Maybe I'll do a little whiny voice. Because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying the people are greater and taller than we. Are you catching what's going on here? Just crying in your pillow at night. And the cities are great and fortified up to the heavens. And besides, this is the best. And besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Ooh! And you should be afraid of that, because those people were scary. Verse 29, we'll talk to them a little bit later. Verse 29. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you. I'm going to stop there for a second. I didn't mean to, but I got to tell you, it's an Old Testament concept that is really gold. If you get nothing else out of the Old Testament, watch how God goes before his people in all things. You're now one of his people. Connect those dots. Tremendous teaching there. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. These people have been going for 40 years, wandering around the desert, wandering around the wilderness because of the disobedience of what he's talking about here. Verse 32, yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night and in the cloud by day to show you by what way you should go. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. Father, how Moses recounts this story so accurately. Father, how Moses recalls the sin of his people. And Father, how Moses recalls the fact that you are the faithful God who goes before us. Now, Father, as we look at this from the angle of basically steps to disobedience in our own lives, I pray that you give us real insight, Father. a real thirst for knowledge about you, relationship with you, intimacy with you. For we seek to live for you and glorify you in all things. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this, get your note sheet out. I really saw in here looking through like 16 different sermons. If I had Matt come join me for a month, it would be 50 different sermons. There's so many truths in here that just continue to evolve that I cannot go into all of them. I want to just hit some highlights in regards to our summer pattern. That's where I was going with this. And I'm calling it basically the Just Do It sermon. But notice the steps to disobedience. If you got your outline, the first point comes from verses 19 to 22. Listen to this. This makes sense. Here's the first point. Delay what God says to do. Delay with good reason. Look at verse 19. They set out from Horeb. They went through all the great and terrifying wilderness that you saw, these people saw, etc., okay? And they came to Kadesh Barnea again. And I said to you, you've come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord your God is giving you. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And when Moses said this the first time, the crowd should have stopped. I've seen this movie. I've seen movies like this. Everybody, now, just, this is my seeing the movie, okay? Thousands and thousands of guys and gals standing there, and I don't know where they got them from, but all of a sudden, they raise torches into the air, and they go, yes, we're going with you, let's go! That's right, right? God said, do it. God said, everybody in this room, go to that room, and we all stood up with torches. I don't know why I've got torches in my fantasy, but it just seems to fit, okay? And boom, we ran through there into the next room with our torches because we're following God. Not so. Didn't happen the first time. What happened? Some of them got together and took Moses aside pretty quick, apparently, and said, hey, let's send some spies up there. Let's go check this thing out. Let's see if it's really safe. Let's see what's going on. Let's make sure it's the best move for us. It does not matter. God said to go, raise your torch and go. And they didn't. They went and they sent guys and took time to wait for those guys to go and those guys to come back. And you know, only two of the 12 said, good stuff as far as God said, let's go. And the others were like, no, they're big and they're dead. You saw that. I'm not going to say anything about Moses right now. It's not the right place. But Moses came off of his point too and let them go. And said, no, we're not going to go. We'll back up. You know, at church, myself, my family, my friendships, everything lands on leadership. Listen to me, my friend. You might not be running a country. You might not be running a city or a town. You might not be running your office. But in some way, you're put in a position of leadership. And everything revolves around that leadership, standing for Jesus Christ and doing and being obedient and just doing it. And here we go. We have a leader here who relents and blinks and takes a step. And guess what? It becomes delay, but you know what? That sounds good. That sounds good reason. Before we go over there, we should send some spies in there to see what we're dealing with. Yes, we should. Let's do that. And anybody would tell you, that's good. That's good reconnaissance. That's good work ahead. That's how you prepare for a battle. But this is different because God said, let's go do it. And they took this time, which was probably months, to figure out that there's all kinds of problems there. Listen, in matters of obedience, prompt and decisive action is called for by God. Happened to notice a quote that I've been holding on to for a while. Napoleon, in his writings, used to say this, that the outcome of every battle was decided in the space of about 5 minutes. Basically, he said, One side of an army, one army or the other, decided to just basically do it, to move ahead with promptness and swiftness, and the other hesitated and blinked, and the one that blinked got beat. Now, don't get confused on this stuff. This is about where God has deliberately shared with us that this is the way we're supposed to be as far as obedience. This is what God has spoken in His Word. I can't tell you how many people have showed up in front of me, and they're like, we knew this wasn't right, but we did it anyway, because it felt like it was something we should do. I made a list. I know I should be doing. Fill in the blank. Let me keep going. You know what, Pastor? I really have to start. I've got friends for over 30 years who've said this to me. I really got to start a diet next month. As they stand there in front of me, all right? And this is not affection. This is just giving you girth, okay? I really need to start a diet next month. And I'm thinking to myself, it's the 5th. What do you got, 25-day grace? Well, why don't you start tomorrow? But it's always, every time I see them, for some reason, they want to tell me this. I really got to start a diet in a month. Well, they do it in their spiritual life, too. I'm going to be obedient to God coming up. I really have to start. I know what the right thing to do here is, but in the future, I really need to try to... Bottom line is, if God has called you to obedience, you can't delay in that obedience. If you delay in that obedience, you will dishonor Him, and that's what matters. I know that in our lives, listen to me carefully, we many times come to Kadesh Barnea-type experiences where we get right to the brink, and we know we've got to be obedient to God, and for some reason we blink and we hold back, and we don't step fully into being obedient to God. And in that waiting time is when it opens the door for sin. Listen, churches don't talk this way. They need to. This has to do with your relationships. This has to do with your sexuality. This has to do with your mental mindset. This has to do with your finances. Every single area of your life, there must be an obedience factor with between you and God in all of those things that God has given to you. Some of them great and some greatly misused. Here we go. We're called to be obedient, and the bottom line is just do it. No delay. Second point. They had a complaint here. If you notice your second point, I put complaint, but with good reason. Look at verses 27 and 28. And you murmured. You know what murmur is? You know what murmur is? Can you do murmur for me, anybody? Okay, good. You all know what that is, don't you? Hey, listen, we're having a little fun with that, but have you ever been in a situation where somebody is murmuring in the group? Maybe your family, maybe your kids. My kids would be in the back seat, okay? And I would say something that we're going to get in the car. And where are we going, Daddy? Don't worry, just get in the car. They were little, okay? I can't do this now. They grew up and it's a shame, okay? Kids are like puppies, okay? If I could develop a pill whereby they stayed puppies their entire life, we would make a mint if dogs would stay cute and puppies. The same pill might work on kids, all right? And they might stay cute little kids. But listen to this. Many times in my house, I'd say, get in the car, we're going. They'd get in the car, Dad, where are we going? As we're pulling out of the driveway, Dad, where are we going? And I finally tell them, we're going over here to do whatever. And I hear in the back seat this. And the best, I had three of them, young in grade school. And you don't, as a parent, have to turn around to hit any one of them, all right? You can just take your famous right arm and just go back across like that and get one or two with one shot. I don't know if it was the one murmuring, but it shut them up. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Here we go right there. Okay. I'm just having fun with you. Okay. Watch this. Verse 27. Look at this. And you murmured in your tent. So you went back to your family, back to your tent, and you murmured because the Lord hated us. Where'd you get this from? Because the Lord hated us? Are you looking at what He's done so far? Where have you been hated? You've been preserved because the Lord hated us. He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. God saved us so He could dangle us over the fire and kill us real good by the Amorites. Really? Where are you getting this from? Verse 28. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt. The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to the heavens. Literally, in the Hebrew, it's this. The cities have walls up to the sky. Talk about hyperbole. Talk about an over-exaggeration. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. There's so much homework. Here we go. So cities are great, and they're fortified up to the heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. The Anakim. Now, this makes no sense to anybody unless you study your scripture, and hopefully you do. Don't tell me the Old Testament is boring. There is stuff there. If you've been spending time in HD Bible study, you are getting more of a hint as to the fact the Old Testament is here and the New Testament is here, and what I just painted for you is not true. It's like this. They are one unified book. Don't let anybody tell you this old thing gets passed away. It's no good. We're staying in the new, and on top of that, we just want the words of Jesus. Don't listen to a person like that. You got the Old Testament and the New, and it's a shame they named them the way they did. Here they go. both testaments together display God and display His glory and display His will, not just for back then, but also for going forward. That's why you need your Old Testament. And if you disagree with me, that's fine, but I'm not going to leave that place. I've been there for 30 years. You need to be studying the Scripture and let God reveal Himself to you by how He acted in the Old Testament. Now, with that said, these people, the Anakites, were scary. The Anakim, they were scary. In fact, if you've got notes, you got your pen with you, write this down. In Numbers 13, you can start about verse 32, and you can read about the Nephilim, okay? The Nephilim, if you want to read about them. Listen carefully if you don't know about them. Think your scripture's boring? Listen to this carefully. Go back and read that. It was demons, fallen angels, who came down to earth and mated with women and produced a race of people that were scary. And you read through the accounts and you'll see they were taller, they were stronger, they were superhuman. And I've got a whole bunch we can talk about on that. I'm not going to do it right now. But it's absolutely fascinating that this race existed. And here we go. These spies ran into them in the land, probably from a distance, and went like this. Wow, look at how big they are. Look how strong they are. Now listen, if you and I were going to take on a neighborhood next to ours in football or basketball, we go over and scout the park over there and see what kind of talent they got. And if we saw all the guys in the park were 7 foot and really big and the girls were 7'5" and really big, whew, what a neighborhood, okay? We would probably come back to our neighborhood and go what? We're not taking them on. We're all average height, like myself, a little above average height. And we're all about my size and your size. We're not going to go. We're going to get beat up. If we play tackle football with them, they're going to tear us to pieces. So we might just say, we're not taking them on. We'll take on a grammar school or something. It's the same thing here. Well, don't you want to win? You take on a grammar school, all right, for money. But here it is. These guys went in and they saw these beasts and these brutes. And they came back basically like they were going to go play football with them or basketball and said, we can't go. There's scary people over there. Get the idea? The complaint is good, but and it's true. But things don't always go smoothly as planned. Do you understand that? How many years did you have to live on this earth to realize that life can get tough? I want to blow a myth out of the water here if I could this morning. In fact, it's a Christian myth that everybody has come face to face with. It's the Christian myth that led me to Christ. Ooh, listen carefully. There's a myth that God will solve all of my problems, and that once you come to believe in Jesus and become a follower of Christ, a child of God, that your life will go like this, from this to this. Smooth, glassy sea. Sunny day, pina coladas. God provides all this for us. Cold, by the way. Nice, refreshing drinks. Beautiful temperatures. And your life is wonderful. Occasionally, there's a little ripple, but before it gets to you, God flows it and smooths it out. Set your boat just stays steady. And you know what? You're laughing, but now you're going to feel bad you laughed. When I was a teenager, I was in the middle of a situation that was really horrible at my house. A parent had basically just died. Another one that was left decided to track alcoholism and move out with numerous boyfriends. And I guess I told you it was my mother by saying that. Okay, good. With numerous boyfriends. And as kids, didn't have food, didn't have care at home. Me and my sister, younger sister, it was a terrible thing. And I ran into these Protestants who took me to their church. And I end up at their church listening to their pastor, who's given a message like this, although he wore a suit and a tie and would never be caught dead in athletic shoes, even when he wasn't in church. Okay, he was one of those. And you know what he said? He said this. He said, you know, if you're sitting here this morning, I almost want to go into it for you, but I'll do it, okay. You know, if you're sitting here this morning and you're wondering why God's brought you here, bad soul. You wonder why God brought you here? He brought you here for this reason, because you've got problems. You've got struggles. You've got needs in your life. You are lonely. And I'm sitting there the whole time going like this. That's me. That's me. Golly, how's he know? And then he said this. You come to Jesus. You trust in Jesus. You come forward and pray the prayer with me to accept Jesus Christ, and all of your problems will be taken care of. I was like, oh, hold it. all I have to do is go up there and pray that little prayer with you and believe in Jesus, because I'm already halfway there. I kind of believe in Jesus, but all I have to do is that, and my problems are taken care of. All of my needs are taken care of. This is fantastic. Where do I sign? Run to the front of that church and pray that prayer. It was tremendous. And I will tell you this, with God as my witness, I went home after that, and the next month or two, my life got worse. Eventually ending up with an expulsion from high school. Not a detention, not a suspension, expulsion from high school. And had to find another place to go to school. How could that be? Well, don't answer that question. You probably look at me and go, I could see that. I would have got it. Okay. I look through the scripture and this is what I see. I see a God who goes before us in all matters. I see the TV preachers saying this, if you want to be rich, send me your money and you'll get rich. Do I look stupid? If I send my money to you, I'm not going to get rich. Send me your money and you'll get rich and God will give you more. He'll give you more than you gave me. So you want to give me more so you get more from God. And you got God caught in a loop and he can't get out of it. And he's going to have to keep giving you more and more and more. Figure it out. Give me as much as you can. I need that plane. I need that car. Christians who don't know the scripture sit there and go, well, that sounds good to me. Unfortunately. People who read the word look at that and go, you're a clown. Scripture doesn't talk that way. I'm not going to do that. Listen to me. You know what I see is a God who goes before us in all matters. I see a God who helps us power through the situations in this life. I see people like Paul who get imprisoned, who have hardship, have sacrifice, and then die for their faith. I see people like me and you who believe in Jesus Christ, who have to trust God every day because of pains and problems and things that happen in our life. And it's God who sustains us, who's gone before us in those areas, who sustains us in difficult ways. I see this. I see that because of Jesus Christ, doors around the world, Jesus kicks down for the gospel so that things might happen for him. I see a different God. I see a God who is not going to put up with my complaining with good reason. We've lost the perspective as children of God that we just go ahead and are obedient to him and take the steps to follow him and just do it. Third point, very important. I want you to see this as well. It is a forgetfulness of his word and experiences with them. Listen, I've said this before. Do this. This is worth it. This week, you take a couple of minutes. You all have sit-down time. Everybody does. I come home and I've got sit-down time where I get to flip channels. I can watch, listen to me, I can watch baseball game after College World Series game. I'm just telling you what I'm looking at these days. I'm looking at all this stuff that I like watching. All right, get the idea? Take a minute. Take the back of a piece of paper, take a pen, and start an exercise that will last you for a couple of months. And that is this. Call it my list of experiences with God. And start with when you came to believe in Jesus Christ. And then start marking stuff down that took place in your life that was big, where God sustained you through it, where God met your need, where God went before you into the matter that you had to deal with that was really, really tough. You start laying out your experiences with the God of the Israelites. And you will see that you have got a history and a track record with him. And you will see that he has been faithful at every point. And you will see that he was delivered for you at every point. And you will see this, that he doesn't take the situation away necessarily, but allows you to come through it as you continue to be refined for Jesus Christ. Look at this third point, verse 29. Moses says, then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you. Because he knows you can't win against these guys. They're just too big. He did this for you in Egypt right before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. All the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God. He went before you in a cloud and a pillar of fire. He has always been that way to show you which way to go. Third point. You want to not be obedient to God? You need to have a forgetfulness of his word and experiences with him. These folks, from the release in Egypt to the plagues and not being hit by the plagues, or everybody else did. The crossing of the Red Sea was dramatic. The Red Sea crashing back on the army of the Egyptians and taking them out. The provisions in the desert of manna and quail and water and direction, and the list goes on. Wow, did we forget what God really did? Did you forget what he really did in your life? But look at this. Verse 22, if you're looking at your scripture, here's how it should read. Let me show you how verse 22 should read. On verse 22, again, Moses says this, "Then all of you came near me and said, 'Let us get together and go up and take the land.'" That's what it should say. That's what it should say. We know God has taken the land. He's given it to us as our possession. He goes before us. We're not going to be feared or dismayed. Verse 22. "Then all of you came near to me and said, 'And raised your torches high.'" I got a torch problem, I think, okay? "And held your torches high and said this, 'Let us go up there and take this land, for God has given it to us.'" And you and I would read this scripture here at that place in verse 22, and we go, what a great story. They believed in God. They didn't even go up there and see the giants. They just knew God said to go take it, and they went up and they took it. Wouldn't it be great? Didn't happen that way. They forgot about His Word and the experiences with Him. They forgot to just do it, and they progressed in their disobedience away from God. Listen carefully to me as we wrap this down. You would think, well, that's Old Testament. I would never do that. That's Old Testament. I would never do that. When God tells me to do something, I do it. When I read in His Word to be a certain way and obedient to Him, you know what? I step up every time, and I'm obedient to Him. Really? I think we live in the greatest generation of people who read the Scripture, and after we read the Scripture, we go like this. That's nice. And go on about our life. I really believe that. You want to make a difference in this church? You want to make a difference that really matters in your neighborhood, in your family, in your friendships, your place at work? Then be a person who, as you study the Scripture, sees where to be obedient and seeks to be obedient to what God says to do at all costs. It'll make the greatest difference in your summer. And listen carefully to me. The most vulnerable time for you to walk away from God is now. The most vulnerable time to walk away from God and the habits of God, as far as getting together, the study of Scripture, your prayer life, etc., is now in the summer. It has more to do with not a pair of shorts or some flip-flops that get worn to church. It has to do with right here, a letdown that naturally comes for the summer. And let the challenge be this, to just do it. The same company that came up with this logo had a commercial that went like this: "Life is short, play hard, just do it." They're absolutely right. Life is short. If you haven't counted your years up yet, they go by awful quick. Life is short. Live hard, meaning serve out for Jesus Christ, and just do it. Unflinchingly stand for Jesus Christ where He's placed you. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we at Candlewood want to be a church body that's known for our obedience to You. Obedience in each of our individual walks. Obedience with the people and in the situations where You have placed us. Our Father, we desire nothing else more than Your name go forward. You be glorified, that Your kingdom be advanced, and that people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Father, we realize once again that You're doing that work through us. Father, we recommit ourselves to that task, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen.